I love to pray, and then I have just a couple thoughts. I want to read a passage of scripture for us this evening, and then we will go home and drink eggnog and whatever else you do on Christmas Eve. So I'd love to pray. So Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this gathering. I thank you for this space, and I thank you for these people. I thank you that we're gathered here this evening to see friends and to celebrate the birth of Jesus and to participate in the different traditions that we have. And so I just pray that you bless every human being that's in this room, every woman, every man, every young person, and every older person, God, that everybody in this room would walk away feeling deeply loved by you and would know the beauty of Christmas. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, so again, my name is Luke, and I just wanted to share a couple thoughts with us, with you all this evening about Christmas. And I think it's safe to say that for me, when I think about Christmas, one of the primary, I guess, ideas that I think most of us in this room might agree with, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're new to this might be new, but I think Christmas is primarily about God coming to be with us. Like, Christmas is primarily about God being with us. And so what I want to do is actually read a passage of scripture, Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 25, and just spend a few minutes thinking about the implications of this passage. This is part of the Christmas story. So in Matthew chapter 2, we have this beautiful passage, and it starts out this. It says, "This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. 'Joseph, son of David,' the angel said, 'do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. 'Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means 'God is with us.' When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife, and Joseph named him Jesus." And so this is the Christmas story according to Matthew. Luke's gospel has a similar story, but this is a really beautiful picture of Christmas for us, and this is why we're gathered this evening. And when I think about Christmas, one of the things we've been talking about here at the Vineyard for the last couple of weeks is this idea about Christmas communicating several things about God and his kingdom. And one of them is this, that God enters our world as a baby and turns everything upside down. And this afternoon, we were hanging out at my house. We opened all our Christmas presents this morning. And for those of you that might not have heard, we're actually taking all of our family to Washington, D.C. Our kids are all going to Washington, D.C. tomorrow. And so we announced that to our kids. They didn't know. They were totally surprised. They thought we were going to spend Christmas in Reading. And so, like, my kids are all crying because they're so excited. And it was awesome. We got it all on camera, too, so we can embarrass them later in life. Seriously, can't wait for that. But I was thinking about Christmas a lot, and as I was walking into the garage to get some beverages, I was just thinking about how radical and scandalous it is that God actually became a baby. I mean, like, that's, like, pretty amazing to me. Anybody else, like, have you ever stopped to think about that? Like, we sometimes hear the story so often, it stops being marvelous. But not just marvelous, it's actually totally, totally amazing, right? And so when we look at the story of Christmas, we see that God enters into our world. He actually enters into our space, so to speak, and he turns everything upside down. And so I just think that the Christmas story is beautiful, and I've tried to, for the last few years in my own life, like, spend time thinking about it, not just during December, but, like, throughout the rest of the year, thinking about the implications of this reality. And I've come to the conclusion, though, about human beings, I have a couple suspicions about everybody in the room. I think that there's basically four things that everybody kind of needs besides food, okay? I'm just going to agree that everybody needs Christmas cookies. That's just an assumption, all right? But one of the first things I believe about everybody is I believe that every human being needs to be loved. Like, I think everybody needs to be loved. And if you're in this room right now and you're like, "I don't need to be loved," you're a liar. And we need to love on you a lot and cuddle you and hug you and make you feel really awkward just to prove that you actually need it, all right? But everybody needs to be loved. And everybody also, I think, needs to be valued. And I just think that's amazing that the conversations I have with people is that as people start experiencing a sense of being valued, they come alive. And so I think people need to be loved. I think people need to be valued. I think that people need to experience some sense of salvation, some experience of salvation. And then finally, I think that people need to have hope. I think that everybody needs to have hope. And what I think is really beautiful is that every single one of these needs that every human being has, that I believe everybody has, is actually met in the story of Christmas, because they're actually met by the birth of Jesus. He was born to love us. He actually showed how much he valued us by dying on the cross for us. And the baby receives the name Jesus because he would save people from their sins. That's actually what the angel says in Matthew chapter 1. The angel tells Joseph and says, hey, I want you to name that baby Jesus because he will save people from their sins. And the Hebrew name for Jesus, Yeshua, means God is salvation. And so just think about that for a few minutes here. Christmas is a time where all of us are reminded about how God meets these needs that every single one of us has. He meets every one of these needs. And so I've been thinking about this evening, and obviously Christmas Eve is one of those gatherings where you might be totally new to the church. You might have never been to church, and so I've been thinking about, like, what can you walk away from tonight's gathering with? And so I wanted to share that. Like, this story of Christmas, this idea of God becoming a human being, a baby, which is etched forever in history. Like, it's actually shaped all of history. We say B.C. and A.D., right? We talk about time relative to the birth of Jesus. What can we leave tonight with? What can we leave with tonight? And so I want you to think about this. I think that everybody in this room can walk away with this. The birth of Jesus is God's way of saying that things are going to be different. The birth of Jesus is God's way of telling us that things will be different in our reality. Now, I had a pretty good year this year. Anybody else would say 2017 is a pretty good year? Or is it just me? All right, I know some of you are like, nope, worst year ever. Okay, that's possible in your experience. But even though I had a really great year, I'm okay with saying that I need some things in my life to be different. Anybody else agree that you need some things in your life different this year? Is it just me? I like how it's like three of us. The rest of you are liars. You're all liars. But right, there's certain things about our life that we need to be different, whether it's the relationships that we have, or if it's our economic, socioeconomic statuses, or employment, or whatever it is. Like, we all probably have something that we need to be different. And the Christmas story beautifully reminds us that God is able to make things completely different and completely new. And so as you read throughout the history of humanity, we find that when the birth of Jesus comes, things change. Along comes the birth of Jesus, God's only Son. And I think it's safe to say that even though God has sent his Son, our planet, our world still needs more of Jesus. And that's why I take great comfort in the reality that Jesus is still making all things new. He is making all things new. I don't know if you do this at all, but like, I have these moments in my life where I'll actually like pause and try to reflect on where I'm at. Anybody do that, or is it just me? Like, sometimes I think I'm weird, but I'm like, I'll be fishing on the river all by myself, and I'm like, where am I at right now? I know I'm on the river, but where am I at in life? And so I've just found that the more I do that, the more that I realize that there's certain areas of my life that are developing, and there's certain areas of my life that are in process. And I just love the fact that God actually invites us into his story, and he allows us to actually process and move forward with him. I had this fascinating conversation a few years ago. I was in Florida speaking at a vineyard conference, and I had overstayed. The conference had gotten done, and I had to stay one more night because my flight got canceled or something. I had nowhere to stay, and I am not the type of person that can live on the streets. All right, I'm just not that guy, right? I'm like, please get me a hotel, and all the hotels were full. And so the church we were staying at was a larger vineyard, and they had this couple that had said, hey, we would love to host anybody that ever needs a house to stay at. So I was like, I am that guy. Please sign me up. So they said, all right, well, here's the address for the couple, and you can go over there. And so I pull into this gated community, you know, and I had to, like, give them a password. And it's houses that were, like, bigger than this church building. So I'm like, oh, this is going to be pretty cool. Knock on the door, and this couple answers the door, and I'm like, man, your house is awesome. And they're like, yeah, you'll be staying in the right wing. And I'm like, I got my own wing. And I literally had my own wing, my own bathroom. I had my own pool in my room. It was like the most epic moment of my life. I was like, I have arrived. It was like awesome. And then I did have to get on an airplane the next day and fly home. But I was, while I was there, I was talking to this couple, and it was interesting. So they had lived 50 plus years really, really good. Like they were telling me, yeah, you know, so the guy was a CEO of a Fortune 500 company, had made millions of dollars, and had retired at the age of like 52. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, so what do you do with your life now? And he's just telling me about all he had done. And so this guy had everything. I mean, his mansion was a mansion. In fact, there was this moment where he's like, the next morning I woke up and I'm like still trying to figure out where I'm at in the house. He's like, oh, would you like to take the yacht out? And like most of the time when people say, do you want to take the yacht out? They've got like a 15-foot boat in the back, right? So I'm like, oh yeah, I'll go check it out. It was a yacht, like, you know, the huge yacht. And I was like, oh my gosh, these people are so different than me and Don. I had no, I was like, I don't even know how to talk to these people. And like we went out to lunch and I was like, oh, what should I get? Because I couldn't read the, it was all in French. And they're like, well, you should get the $150 lobster. And of course, I was like, yeah, I should totally get the $150 lobster. You're paying. That's a great idea. So I got it. It was like this huge lobster. But I was talking to them, and I was like, tell me your story. And they're like, well, you know, so I'd worked at this job, and I'd made millions of dollars, retired at 55, and now I'm a board member for a couple banks, and they pay me a couple million dollars a year to fly to meetings. And I'm just like, get into the banking industry like that, like, you know, and he's telling me this. But then I said, so like, what are you guys doing now though? And it was crazy because all of a sudden he like lights up and he's like, well, we're serving at the Vineyard. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. What do you guys do? And he's like, well, you know, they got me working on the PowerPoint now. And I'm like, cool, what else? He's like, oh man, I'm just trying to figure out the PowerPoint. And I'm like, that's awesome. And so what I found out, though, as I was talking to him is that his story, for 50-something plus years of his life, he had been living his life, and he had been doing his thing, and he had been successful, but yet he wasn't very happy. He had everything that the world has to offer, and yet he hadn't come to a place of contentment until he came to meet Jesus Christ. And when he met Jesus, his entire life changed to the point where he retires and then he becomes the volunteer PowerPoint dude at this Vineyard. And it was like the most cool moment of his life. And so it got me thinking, though, about how we all are living stories. Like everybody in this room, you're all living out stories. And we're going about our lives and we're doing our thing. And so the question I have for us this evening is, how might you actually enter into the story of Jesus? And that's the invitation that I think Christmas has for us, is that it's an invitation for us to enter into the story of Jesus, the story of hope. In fact, when I look at the story of Christmas, I am absolutely convinced that if we're going to summarize it, it's the birth of Jesus, it's about God making all things new, and it's a story of hope. And so, like everybody in this room, you all came to this building this evening with your own story. You're all doing your own thing. You're living your lives. And I would say this is true for every one of us. Followers of Jesus are those who may be totally unclear about what Jesus means. And yet there's this invitation for us to enter into his story. And we're coming to the end of 2017. And 2018 is an opportunity for us to enter into that story and to live our lives with hope. And so I'd love to do this. I'd love to ask you to stand for a minute here. And when I say minute, I probably mean 3 to 5. But I'd love to pray. Because when I look at the story of Jesus, and as a person who has sold, I mean, like I'm sold out for Jesus. I want everybody to know Jesus. I would love for you to know Jesus if you have not come to know him. But the real, true Jesus, what I love about Jesus is that when you stare at the pages of Scripture, what you see in the life of Jesus is that all these people are centered around him. Like in the Christmas story, you have the shepherds. You have angels, you have Mary, you have Joseph, you have all these different animals around. And then you also later on have the magi or the wise men who come from afar. And then you see Jesus growing through his life and you see people after people. There's just so many people around him. And here's what I see is that every single person that comes in contact with Jesus does not leave the same. Everybody leaves with a sense that things are going to be different and that they have hope. And so the Christmas story is wildly beautiful beyond imagination. Because what it does for all of us here is it reminds us that God's story in our life is not done. Like every single one of you can enter into God's story and can be a part of what Jesus is doing and seeing his work done. And so I'd love to pray for you. And so if you'd be willing to close your eyes, bow your head, whatever you need to do to like be able to focus, the question that I'd like to pray into is, what would it look like for you to enter into the story of Jesus? Like, what would it look like for you to say yes to Jesus perhaps again, or to say yes to Jesus for the first time, and this evening to enter into the story of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of hope? And so, Heavenly Father, I just want to pray for everybody in this room right now. I pray that there would be a sense of your presence, and more than anything, that everybody in this room would leave this place knowing how deeply loved they are by God. And that there would be nobody in this room that has a question or a wonder about the depth of God's love for them. And then I also pray, Lord, whatever situations anybody in this room is going through, or whatever challenges have been faced for this past year, I pray that everybody in this room would have a strong sense of hope in Jesus. And I pray this in the wonderful, beautiful name of Jesus.